You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We're in week three of our series, I Said This, You Heard That. Come on, how many of you can relate to that phrase? I said this, you heard that. Yes, so we have been talking about communication in this series. Let me kind of recap where we've been. In week one, we said that if you want to learn to love others well, you got to learn to speak their language. Because sometimes it feels like we're speaking different languages. Even if we all speak English or whatever language we're talking about, sometimes it feels like we're speaking a different language when we're talking to somebody. And why is that? It's because we all have different temperaments. Because your wiring colors your communication. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, go to our website on the homepage, scroll down to the I Said This, You Heard That resources. There's a temperament test that you can take. I know most of you have done it by now, but for our first-time guests or those of you who are just jumping into this series, go ahead. There's a free temperament test that you can take there, and it's going to help you learn a whole lot about yourself, how you hear people, how you communicate. Come on, how many of you are enjoying this series? Is this helping anybody out? We've been having some great discussions in life groups, having a lot of fun, laughing a lot as we learn about ourselves and we learn about others. So today, I want to talk to you about communicating with your partner and those closest to you. Now, this message is going to be most helpful for the married people. We got some engaged people. But this is really going to be helpful for everybody, whether you're in a serious relationship or not. It's going to be helpful for the single people as well, because we got some single people in the house. Come on, some good-looking, available single people. Can I get an amen? Somebody. Church Online. If you are in Church Online, you need to get into Pastor Danya's online Facebook group, because you never know who you're going to meet. I'm just saying, church is a really great place to find a mate. So this is going to be helpful for all of us, because it's going to help us better communicate with those who we are in close relationship with. Because communication is such an important part of any relationship, isn't it? Such an important part of any relationship. In fact, research continually demonstrates that the quality of communication is a very important top indicator of the health of an overall relationship, especially when it comes to marriage and committed relationships. Communication, the quality of communication, is such an important factor. Why is that? Because emotional connection and communication go hand in hand. Come on, if you're taking notes today, put that in your notes. Emotional connection and communication go hand in hand. If the emotional connection is good, the communication is good. If the communication is good, then most likely the emotional connection will get even better. Those two things are really connected. Communication is the lifeblood of a relationship. We might even say it this way: communication is the relationship. As the communication goes, so goes the relationship. So for the past few weeks, we've been talking about how God made us, right? How he wired us with all these different temperaments and really living out of the strengths of our temperaments rather than the weaknesses of our temperaments. With that thought in mind, let me give you this principle to begin the message today. And here it is. Good communication is built first on who you are and only later on what you do. Let me say that again. Good communication, it's really based on who you are, your character. It's about what's going on in your heart, the qualities that you're developing. Good communication is based first on who you are and only later on what you do. So we're going to first of all focus in this message first on the who part. We're going to talk about the who, and then we're going to, in the second half of the message, talk about the what. We're going to get really practical today. This is a great, great day to take notes in church. I'm going to give you a lot. You got to listen fast. I got to preach fast, because we have a lot of notes today. So open up that Redemption app or whatever you like to use to take notes. Church Online, be plugged in, because we're going to plow through a lot of notes today, and I really think this is going to help some people. How many of you want to get better at communication? Come on, how many of you are married to somebody who needs to get better at communication? I'm just saying, I see some elbows going this morning. All right, so we're going to start with the who. Let me give you three qualities that we need to embrace for healthy communication, no matter what color you are, what your temperament is, whether you're a blue, a yellow, a green, a red. These are going to help you. Okay, three qualities that we need to embrace for healthy communication. And can I just say right from the beginning that I'm on this journey with you. I am your fellow student. I am preaching to myself. Amy will replay this message to me like for quality and training purposes, just like last week, because we all have room by the grace of God to get better in this area. And I am right there with you. Here's the first one. Number one, three qualities. The first quality we want to embrace is grace. Somebody say grace. Come on, we need more grace in our relationships. We need more grace in our communication. Let's review our key scripture that we've been looking at every week until this gets deep down in our hearts. Ephesians 4:29 says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs." Read this last part out loud with me. "That it may benefit those who listen." We need grace. Church Online, somebody type it in the comments. We need grace. Now, the New Testament was originally written in Greek. So here's how this last phrase literally translates from the Greek. Okay, it says, "so that it may benefit those who listen." Literally from the Greek, "so that it may give grace to those listening." That it may give grace to those who are hearing our words. To give grace means that we are going to accept the other person despite our differences and their downsides. Come on, let me start with the married people today. When you said, "I do," for those of you who are married, you said, "I do" to their strengths and their weaknesses, to their upsides and their downsides. You said, "I do" to their annoying habits. You said, "I do" to their snoring, to their messiness, to the way they handle finances, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You signed up for all of it, you know, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, right? All of it. We have to learn to accept other people. If you're in any kind of relationship, dating, whether you're engaged, whether it's just the people that you love that you're closest to, we got to learn by the grace of God to accept them for who they are with all of their differences. This is the grace part. How many of you, especially those of you who have been in a committed relationship, especially the married people, how many of you have discovered or have tried to change the other person in your relationship? Anybody tried that before? Come on, where are the married people at? How many of you over the years, you found yourself just giving some suggestions, you know, giving a couple tips, you know, some help, some constructive criticism to try to help change the other person? Yeah, how'd that work out for you? How'd that work out for you? I'm 18 years into marriage and I'm still learning to allow Amy to be Amy. To give her permission to be herself. And she's still learning to grant me permission to be myself. And so part of the reason that discovering the temperaments is so powerful is that it helps you give grace to the other person and accept them for who they are. They're not crazy after all. They're just different from you. Turns out they're actually just wired differently than you, and it's so helpful to realize that. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to extend grace to each other? Well, we got to get the gospel into our communication. Come on, we got to get the gospel into our communication, what Jesus has done for us. Come on, we're going to love others the way Christ has loved us. He gave everything for us. He loved us when we least deserved it. So where are we going to find the power to get grace into our relationships? We're going to extend the same grace that God gave to others in our words. Can I get an amen, somebody? Are you with me? We got to get the gospel into our communication. And grace creates an atmosphere of safety and acceptance and vulnerability. It's a really powerful thing. And those are some things that we need for our relationships to go to a deeper level. So the first quality is grace. The second thing, second quality that we need to embrace, that we need the Holy Spirit just to work into our hearts is genuineness. Genuineness, we might say sincerity. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, 45. He said, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Come on, isn't that powerful? The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Sometimes your mouth reveals that your heart is full of caca. I'm just saying. It reveals what's in there, right? Another way of saying it is out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's the more traditional translation. And so we got to speak with genuineness. This is real genuineness. This is really a work that God wants to do in our hearts. Come on, we can all spot it from a mile away when someone is being phony and disingenuous with their communication, right? Like we all have a BS radar that just goes off when people are giving it to us like that. Like take, for example, when you're on a customer service call. Does it ever happen to you? Like you're calling Verizon to dispute your phone bill or something, right? And the person, you can tell the customer service rep has been on the phone all day with people just like you. They've had enough. They're being passive aggressive. They get to the end of the conversation. "Well, it's been such a pleasure to serve you today. Is there anything else I can do for you?" "No, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling Verizon. Have a great day. I hate you," right? Basically, you can sniff it out in the communication. It's not genuine. How many of you have ever had somebody give you an apology? Oh, married people, this happens all the time. They give you an apology and it's not sincere. "Oh, I'm so sorry that I messed up your whole day." Yeah, wasn't it wonderful for you to receive the apology that way? Because it's not sincere, right? We got to get genuineness into our communication. Often, what you say is far less important than how you say it. How many of you know that's true? Doctors Les and Leslie Parrott, who are best-selling authors and Christian family therapists, they say this: nonverbal communication accounts for 58% of the total message. 58% of the total message when you're communicating. Tone of voice makes up 35% of the message. That gets us in trouble. Your actual words account for only 7% when you're communicating. That is mind-blowing, isn't it? That is amazing. I saw a meme the other day that puts things in perspective. It said, controlling my tongue is no problem. It's my face that needs deliverance. Come on, how many of you can resonate with that? I think the face is the last part of our bodies to be sanctified in our walk with God. Some of you, your face needs deliverance. Your face needs Jesus. This is my problem. I'm a red, right? Reds, we're fiery, we're passionate. My tone of voice and my facial expressions gets me in trouble with my blue wife like all of the time. Pray for your pastor. And so why does this matter? Why does this matter? Because genuineness builds trust. Come on, how many of you know we need trust in our relationships for our relationships to flourish? Genuineness, sincerity in our language, really meaning from the heart, what we're saying, it builds trust in a relationship, and this is why we need God to work in our hearts first, so that we actually want to communicate in a way that benefits others, that builds others up. Come on, how many of you know this is a work of the heart? Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of your mouth reflects what's in the heart. Holy Spirit, change my heart. Let there be an inner transformation so that I want to speak in a way that blesses and builds up the other person. Is this helping anybody today? I know I'm preaching to myself. Here's the third quality. We're talking about first who we're going to become, church online. Who we're going to become first, and then the what. Here's the third quality we need to embrace for healthy communication, and that is empathy. Everybody say empathy. Come on, empathize with me today. Empathy. Back to our key verse here, okay? Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. Read this last part out loud with me. According to their needs. Let's try that again one more time. Church online, read this out loud with me since nobody in person is helping me. According to their needs. There we go. Now I heard you through those masks. This is empathy. What is empathy? What is empathy? It's seeing the world from your partner's perspective, from the other person's perspective. It's understanding their needs. Now, let's recognize we have a default tendency to communicate according to our needs, to get our point of view across, to say what we want to say. But Paul is saying to us, it's about the other person's needs. We have to learn to practice empathy. And here's the mistake we usually make, and you need to put this in your notes. We tend to assume that the other person sees and experiences life the way we do. Don't we? We do this all the time. We continually fall into this habit. It's just a human habit in our relationships. We continually tend to assume that the other person sees and experiences life the way we do. The problem is they have their own personality. They have their own temperament. They have their own upbringing, their own DNA, their own life experiences, and they just happen to be different than yours. So it's like all of us are going through life with this set of lenses. You know, I got some sunglasses here. And it's like we're all going through life with our own set of lenses, right? And if you're blue, you got a blue set of lenses. If you're red, you got a red set of lenses. If you're green, yellow, you get it, right? And when you're having a discussion with someone, an argument, let's be honest, it's kind of like, I don't understand why you can't see it the way I see it. It's just so clear. Like 2020, man, like what is wrong with you? Why can't you see it my way? And because you have your lenses on, right? And it doesn't make any sense. It just seems so straightforward to you. But the problem is they're looking at life through their own set of lenses. They're seeing things their own way. You got to help them see it from your perspective, but you've also got to be willing to see it from their perspective because they're seeing life through a different set of lenses than you are. And so what is empathy? Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. It's the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. In the Ziegler household lately, I've been calling this feelings management. When Amy and I talk about this subject, as we're on the road to getting better and healthy in our communication, I said, babe, I'm learning more and more that it all boils down to feelings management. You're feeling something I don't feel. I'm often feeling something you don't feel. And the better we can help each other really understand what each other's feeling, the better off we're going to be. It's feelings management. That's so much of a relationship, isn't it? I see some of the people who've been married for a long time nodding their heads. They know what I'm talking about today. And so much of empathy is just learning and asking questions to understand what the other person's feeling. So here's two really good questions to ask. What does the situation, problem, or event look like from my partner's perspective. Come on, let me help get your view. Let me take the lenses off of you and put your lenses on for a second. Let me ask some good questions, right? What is the situation, the problem, the event, whatever you experience, what does it look like from your perspective, from your partner, from the other person's perspective? The second thing is, how is his or her perception different from mine? How is their perception different from mine? And can I give them grace to just be different than me? Once again, the temperaments are so powerful, right? Can I just give them grace to be colored different than me, to be wired different than me, and meet them where they are? This is empathy. This is the work of empathy. And it's not just something we do. It becomes who we are. If we practice it over time long enough, it becomes one of our character traits. So those are the three things we want to start with, okay? With God's help, we want to be people of grace. We want to be people of genuineness, like just having sincere hearts. And we want to be people of empathy. Now, let's get practical, okay? That was the who. The second half of the message, we're going to talk about the what, okay? I'm going to give you some rules for successful communication, and many of these rules come from relationship experts. This is not all my own stuff. These are some things that I've been collecting that are helping me, and I hope they're going to help you today. Really practical. You're going to want to write these down. Some rules, some tips for successful communication. First, we're going to work on the who. God, make me a person of sincerity. God, make me a person of grace. God, make me a person of empathy. And then we're going to just do some practical things that are going to help us work this out. How many of you love a practical message that you can apply? Well, here you go. Number one, we got to learn to make I statements, not you statements. When you're communicating with someone, when you're discussing something, especially when you're in an argument, learn to make I statements, not you statements. See, making you statements automatically puts the other person on the defense. Making you statements puts a barrier between you and the other person. When is the last time you accused your spouse or your partner with a you statement and they responded well? Come on, think about it, you know? You never include me when you make really important decisions. When's the last time they responded, well, you know what? You're so right. Thank you. I am an authoritarian dictator, and I appreciate you helping me see the light. Thank you so much. When's the last time that happened? That's not what happens. What do? Then they respond to you with a you statement. Well, I'd be happy to include you if you ever had an opinion, if you weren't so indecisive. If you have an opinion, why don't you just speak your mind? And then you just start volleying you statements at each other like missiles. Oh, I know I'm preaching to myself today. This isn't getting through to anybody. I know nobody else recognizes this in their communication, in their relationships, right? That's what you statements do. They put the other person on the defense. You want to know what the other person hears when you use a you statement? Come on. We're talking about, I said this, you heard that, right? Communication is all about what they understood you to say, not what you actually said, what they understood you to say. Here's what they hear when you use a you statement. They hear blame and criticism. No matter how good your intentions are. Well, no, you don't understand. I had really good intentions. It was constructive criticism. It was constructive criticism. I've been living with them. I've been taking notes. It was spot on. I know your intentions were well, but you know what they heard? They heard criticism, and they heard like you coming at them. They heard blame, and it creates a relational barrier. You statements puts a wall between you and them. But you know what an I statement does? An I statement invites hearing and understanding. Notice the difference, okay? We'll go back to our example. You never include me with your major decisions. Hey, sometimes I feel left out of your decision-making. Sometimes, like, I don't feel a part of, you know, the major decisions that you're making for us. And what does the other person say? Oh, really? Well, why is that? See, it invites curiosity. Why is that? What did I do that made you feel that way? This is the empathy thing, right? I statements invites them into your perspective, invites them into your feelings, your way of thinking, and it begins to foster understanding. You know, there's nothing wrong with a good old argument as long as you're arguing toward understanding. It's less about who's winning and losing. The wise is the person who knows that arguing is really about building understanding. So is this helping anybody? Use I statements rather than you statements. Here's the second thing. Number two, just talking about some practical tips for communication. Practice reflective listening. Practice reflective listening. The Apostle James said this, James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Can we just confess in church right now in front of God with the Holy Spirit present in the room that we tend to do the opposite? We tend to, right? We're quick to speak, we're quick to become angry, and we're slow to listen. But James says you got that all backwards. You need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says it this way, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. How many times has that brought folly into your life? A wise person once said there's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth. Maybe he was trying to send us a message. And so we got to learn to practice reflective listening. How many of you know there's a difference between hearing people and actually listening to them? There's a difference between hearing and actually listening. Communication has two parts, right? It's what's said and what's heard. I said this, you heard that. What's said and what's heard. You want to get better at communication? How many of you really want to get better at communication? Learn to listen. Learn to listen. I know for some of you, you might not feel like a wordsmith. For some of you, you struggle to communicate your feelings. Men are kind of notorious for this. But, you know, some of you might feel like, you know, that in these moments of heated arguments, when there's hurts, sometimes I struggle to find the words to communicate. Let me just help you. We can all get better at communication by simply becoming better listeners. You don't have to become the most wordy wordsmith, like, you know, best expresser of your feelings in the world. Just start with being an active listener. We can all do that. And I promise you, your communication will get 100% better. You know, sometimes Amy and I, we get caught up in the vortex of the misunderstanding cycle. The misunderstanding cycle. And it goes something like this, you know, I'll say something or she'll say something, but for the purposes of this example, I'll say something, you know, and I meant it one way, and she hears it another way, right? I said this, you heard that. She hears it, and she thinks I meant something that I didn't mean, and then, of course, it hurts her feelings, and so she begins to defend herself and tell me why that's wrong, and I'm like, no, stop, I didn't mean it that way, and so then I start talking over her because I want to be understood for what I meant, but Amy doesn't appreciate that I'm talking over her because she's trying to explain her side, and what happens? We start talking over each other, and it's like we get sucked into this cycle of misunderstanding. Does anybody recognize this cycle that happens? It is like a tornado. It will suck you in. It'll suck your soul. And you just kind of get into this thing, right, where you're talking over each other. And you know what usually breaks the cycle? Some of y'all are laughing because you're like, yep, that's my life. You know what breaks the cycle? What breaks the cycle is when one of us shuts up and starts listening. Usually what brings peace and begins to facilitate understanding and healing is the first one of whoever finally just shuts up and says, you know what, I'm going to listen to the other person. I'm going to listen. It just breaks that cycle. So reflective listening, it's actively listening so that you can accurately reflect what was said to you. And so start with this simple principle. I heard this years ago, and it stuck with me. Listen to understand, not to respond. If you didn't get anything else that I said today in church, write that down. Listen to understand, not to respond. Because you know what often happens? Here's our problem when it comes to listening. While the other person's talking, what are we doing? We're already formulating our response. We're already formulating our defense, our explanation, our side of things. And so we are ceasing to actively listen to them, and we're already in trouble. Learn to listen to understand, not to respond. The point of reflective listening is to let your partner or to let the other person know that you've heard what they've said and you understand their message. So it might go something like this. Now, I heard you say this. Did you mean it that way, right? Like, I heard you say my face is ugly. Did you actually mean that? Don't say that. That's not nice. I heard you say this, right? What did you actually mean by that? That's a really helpful clarifying tool. Can I give you a bonus tip? This is super practical today. I don't know if this is helping anybody. But when you're having a conversation, see this thing right here? Take this out and turn it off and get it out of your hands. Ladies, I'm going to help you today, okay? Men are not capable of listening to you while we're holding one of these devices in our hand. We are biologically not capable. It goes back to our ancestors, cavemen sitting around fires, just being mesmerized by fire, okay? If I have this device in my hand, it's like, oh, fire, okay? I cannot listen to my wife. Sometimes Amy is talking to me. She is going on, pouring out her heart for like 10 minutes, and she gets to this point, like, are you even listening to me? And I look up from my phone. I'm like, I'm sorry, dear. Can you repeat that? And she's ready. Yep, I see some of y'all pointing at your husband, and she's ready to poison me that night at the dinner table, okay? Men are not capable of holding our phones. Amy's over there like, preach. We are not capable. So just have him turn the phone off, airplane mode, if you really want to get through to each other. Reflective listening. Come on, everybody, take a deep breath. Reflective listening. Let me give you this final thought on this point, okay? We can't heal our relationships until we learn to hear each other. We can't heal our relationships until we learn to hear each other. You want to begin the healing process? You want to begin to heal your hearts, things that are broken where you're missing each other? Begin to hear each other. It'll break that whole misunderstanding cycle. Reflective listening. Here's the third thing. Number three, is this helping anybody today? You guys having fun in church? Number three, Number three, we're getting really practical today. First, who you are, then what are we going to do about it? Number three, understand and accept the differences between men and women. Newsflash, there are differences between men and women. And we have to learn to understand those, especially when it comes to the area of communication. Now, in describing marriage, the Apostle Paul famously said this in Ephesians 5, 31 through 32. He said, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." And then look at what he says in verse 32. This is a profound mystery. This is a profound mystery. Come on, how many of you married people can say, amen, marriage often feels like a mystery? I can't figure out what in the heck is going on. Isn't it funny? Mystery, mysterious. That sounds really sexy when you're dating. Oh, he's tall, dark, and mysterious. You know? Oh, she's so mysterious. I want to get to know her better. Mysterious sounds really interesting when you're dating, right? After like 20 years of marriage, mysterious sounds more like, I can't figure this person out for nothing. Who talks like that? Who thinks like that? Who spends money like that? Who doesn't put the toilet seat down like that? Who snores like that? God, who is this person? That's what mysterious sounds like after a while. That is the great mystery for you single people who can't wait to be in a mysterious relationship. That is what you're signing up for. We're just warning you. We're trying to help you today. We're trying to help you. So conversationally speaking, women tend to share feelings and men solve problems. I just dropped a truth bomb on you. Let me just help you. Come on, married men, if you hadn't taken notes yet, get your phone out and write this down right now. I am saving your life. Okay, I'm saving you from her killing you early and collecting the life insurance policy, because that could happen. I am worth a lot more dead than I am alive. I'm just saying, if I die and it looks suspicious, you guys should investigate Amy, because I am worth a whole lot more dead than I am alive. Promise you. She's taking the money and she's moving back to Buffalo and she's going to be a millionaire. Just saying, you heard it here. Conversationally speaking, women tend to share feelings and men solve problems, okay? Single guys, I'm saving you from a world of pain right now. You got to write this down, okay? So here's how it looks, okay? Amy will come to me, knowing what you know now, this principle, Amy will come to me and say something like, you know, I don't know what to do about this thing, okay? I don't know what to do about this thing. Now, what did I hear as a guy? She's got a problem. She doesn't know what to do about this thing. What do I do in my great wealth of wisdom and my well of knowledge and experience in life and all of my pastoring skills, right? I begin to say, well, honey, have you thought about this? Did you do this? The way I see, I launch into problem solving, and Amy, like, after all of my wonderful wisdom, she's like, stop. She's like, that's not helping me at all. I just wanted a friend. I'm like, what does that even mean? I just wanted someone to listen, to just feel what I'm feeling. I'm like, you told me I don't know what to do about that. I heard a problem. Ladies, this is what guys do. Men, I know it doesn't make any sense to us. You're sitting there right now. You're feeling my pain. I feel you, brothers. You feel my pain. You're like, it doesn't make sense. They're describing a problem, and they're mad at me because I'm giving a solution to the problem. Bros, it'll never make sense. Okay? When we get to heaven one day, we can ask God why he had such a sense of humor. It ain't ever going to make sense, but you have to accept it. It's just true. It's just true. Women have a tendency to communicate and sharing feelings, and men tend to be wired to solve problems. So, helpful tip that'll save your life. I read this recently, and we're starting to actually put this into practice, me and Amy. Label the type of conversation you're having. Label the type of conversation you're having. Are we venting or are we problem solving? Hey, honey, are we venting or problem solving? Sometimes she does want you to problem solve. There are some problems that you need to work out together. Are we venting? That's okay, because if we're venting, go ahead, baby, you just let it all out. I'm just here for you. Love you, baby. Go ahead, I'm here. You know, I don't have any answers. I feel what you're feeling. I love you. I love you. Get it all out, right? Or we problem solving. Then you can put your little, you know, get your tool belt on and go to work and help fix the problem and save the day. Good for you. All right. So let me just finish this out. Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul actually says, when he's talking about marriage, he calls it a mystery, because he says this, that our love for each other reveals Christ's love for the church. See, mystery in the biblical sense isn't something we can't understand. Mystery in the biblical sense is something we can only understand with revelation, when God reveals something to us. So here's the beautiful thing, especially for you married people. When we get this right, We're not just being good spouses. We're not just being good communicators. We're actually doing our God-given calling and mission to reveal Christ to the world through our marriage. Because Christian marriage, which separates Christian marriage from every other kind of relationship, cohabitating, secular marriage, whatever, is that Christian marriage actually has a mission, and that is to reveal the love of Jesus Christ for the church. So just think about this. When you get this right, you're not just getting your communication better, you're actually fulfilling your mission to reveal the love of Christ in your marriage. And that's what that whole mystery thing is about. So I hope that encourages you today. Don't kill each other. Hang in there. It's going to get better. Amen, somebody? All right, here's the fourth thing. Number four, last thing, we're going to finish with this. And that is apologize when necessary. Apologize when necessary. I would say apologize early and often because you're going to need it. A couple simple verses here. Ephesians 4, 26 through 27. This is the same chapter that our key verse comes from. Here's what Paul says. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Man, that's a really good rule of thumb right there. Like, don't let the sun go down. Don't end the day angry, upset, not talking to the person you love, not, you know, with that relationship broken. This doesn't have to be your spouse. This could be your parents. This could be a family member that you hung up the phone on. Do not let the sun go down. None of this sleeping on the couch business, because this is how the devil gets a foothold. This is how the devil gets a foothold. Day after day, it creates a wedge that grows. Come on. We got to get in the habit of, we're going to make things right. We might not feel like it. We might feel all lovey-dovey and fuzzy toward each other. We might not even want to say the words, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, like, we're going to ask for forgiveness, and we're going to extend forgiveness. Because Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So we're not only going to apologize, but we're going to forgive. And how are we going to do it when we don't feel like doing it? What if they're wrong? What if they were a jerk? What if they were 100% wrong and they don't deserve my forgiveness? Here's the truth. A lot of times we don't deserve forgiveness. Did you deserve the forgiveness of God? The sinless life of the Son of God on the cross for you? How are we going to do it? Where are we going to find the power to do this? We're going to do it. We're going to forgive just as in Christ God forgave you. That's how we're going to do it. So if you want a great relationship, you want a great marriage, you want a great relationship with the people that you care about the most, win the award at apologizing first. Have a competition. Who can apologize first? Get in the habit. That's who really wins. You don't win the relationship by winning the argument. You win by apologizing first. And a sincere apology has a few components. Honesty. There might be some accountability, some follow-up that has to happen. A willingness to change, right? It's not, I apologize, but let me give you all the reasons why I really don't have to apologize, and let me negate my apology. Anybody ever apologized like that before? No, apology, it's simple. It's honest. I messed up. I failed. I'm sinful. I'm flawed. It's okay. We're going to forgive each other. We're going to love each other because we all need the grace of God. We all need the forgiveness of God in our lives. Come on, church. As the communication goes, so goes the relationship. As the communication goes, so goes the relationship. We might even say the communication is the relationship. It's the lifeblood of the relationship. It says so much about our emotional connection. It says so much about where things are. How are we going to get a breakthrough in this area? Because this is hard. Come on, how many of you know this is hard? This is a challenge for me. I'm humbled to preach this today. I'm preaching it because I know it needs to be preached, but this lands on me today. This is difficult. This is not easy. There are so many challenges, but Pastor Jeremy, they're so different than me. We're opposite on the temperance, you know? I'm an extrovert. They're an introvert. I'm task-oriented. They're people-oriented. Like, we're so different backgrounds, different nationalities, different experiences. How are we going to bridge all of those things? Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do it in Christ. Come on, church. We're going to do it in Christ. Just like the scripture says, we're going to forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Church, I came to tell you this morning. I got up this morning to tell you that the gospel is powerful enough to change our hearts. Come on. The gospel is powerful enough to change our words. The gospel is powerful enough to bring healing to the areas where we're broken. Come on. The gospel is powerful enough to get us out of these broken habits, these broken cycles, these bad habits that we inherited from our families. The gospel is powerful enough. Does anybody believe that this morning? Come on. We're going to get the gospel into our relationships. We're going to get the gospel into the way that we talk to each other. We're going to hear each other. We're going to be people of grace. We're going to allow God to do a work in our hearts so that we can speak from the abundance of our hearts. We're going to learn to feel what the other person feels. by the grace of God, we're going to forgive. We're going to love each other. Just as in Christ, God loved us. He forgave us. He held nothing back. When we least deserved it, he gave his son for us. Amen. Come on, how many of you want that for your relationships? How many want that for your communication? Would you stand with me? Stand with me. Come on, church online. I know you're in your pajamas, but just stand up where you're at right now in the living room. We're going to pray into this together. Come on. We're going after it. We're inviting the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives today. God, do a work in my heart. Change my heart, God. Do what only you can do inside of me. The gospel's powerful enough to change our hearts. The gospel's powerful enough to change our words. The gospel's powerful enough to break the sinful patterns. Father, we thank you today for your word. Lord, today we invite you to do a work in our hearts so that we can communicate better. God, we're asking you to do a work in our hearts. Jesus, you said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we invite you to do an inner transformation in our hearts, forgiveness, healing, wholeness. God, help us to be those who can forgive and can love each other, God, as you've loved us. Father, I speak healing to hearts this morning. Father, we pray for a greater revelation of your love, a greater revelation of your grace, your mercy, of just how much you empty the riches of heaven to love us so well. God, as we get a greater revelation of that, help us to be able to express that to those we love the most. Cover us by your grace. Transform our hearts, oh God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.